Randy, it's good to have you back. You know, it's hard when people are away a whole lot. He's been gone for weeks at a time. He's working for the TSA, and he's been up to Seattle, Washington area working, Alaska, and is going to be going back, and he's been gone as much as 3 weeks at a time. And I was thinking, I've never been away from my wife since we've been married for 3 weeks. And your wife is, of course, a light in the office, but she has been a little bit melancholy when you're gone a little bit too much, but we understand you have to do it. The thing about sitting in front of him pointed out two things about my singing. One, I don't sing very well. But when I'm near a strong singer, it actually helps me sing my parts, because I'm not gifted in the singing area. I don't know if any of you guys will admit it, but a lot of times I'm singing the melody at whatever pitch my voice will work with for that song. I'm not always singing the proper parts. You know, they say sing tenor or alto. I'm kind of in the melody. But when I sing, I was sitting there with you, I was actually able, he really sings well, to kind of get close to the parts anyway. The older you get, it's just amazing the changes that occur. And I'm not just talking about the physical ones. Those are the obvious ones. And there's a spectrum. Some people age and are able to maintain a lot of health and mobility. I don't know always the answer for that. I think it's a combination. I know people who live well, eat right, and exercise, but that doesn't always translate into a longer, healthy life, does it? We've experienced that. But we know that generally that is a factor. That should be positive. Other people have genetics. There's a genetic factor. But generally speaking, we know that the older we get, our body tends to slow down and hurt in places you didn't know you had. And so we learn to adjust to that, and we learn to live with that, and that's just, well, that's the physical thing. But what I notice more is just the inward things. Our spirituality. Just life experience and wisdom. And some of you who are my age, and many of you have been blessed to live substantially, well, not substantially, but old, a lot more years than me. You know that we become wiser, don't we? I'm talking about we don't become a wise guy, but we have at least the opportunity to develop wisdom and a lot of other character traits that we're told to grow into as we mature as Christians. Any of you agree with me that they come at a high price often? The older I get, the longer I live, and it's hard for me to fathom how long some of our people of faith in the Old Testament lived. The hundreds of years. I'm trying to picture that. Not just the physically, but aren't they just worn out from life? Yes, there's so much joy. But I see so much sorrow and so much pain and so much hurt and so much bad things that we deal with, that it seems like the older and more mature I get, I am more ready for the Lord to come again than I was when I was young. I can remember when I was first being aware of that concept, didn't have the best teachings. It was sort of the premillennial teaching, that is, you know, the Lord's going to come any day because of what's going on in the Middle East. And I was thinking, but I don't want Him to come yet. I got more to live. I want to raise children and do a lot of things. And, you know, it was a little bit scary thinking, well, you know, how about delaying a while? I'm not in that place anymore at all. And I spend time with people who are my age and older, and I see many faithful people who have a calmness about facing a transition. Oh, I think I certainly have concerns possibly about the way I would lose my life. I certainly don't want to lose it the way my mom did, my dad, and some other people through some very debilitating diseases. The process wasn't nice, but I'm ready to be with the Lord. And reflecting on the body here a lot, I've seen, you know, I don't know how to measure cycles, whether it's just me, but it seems like for a while, for a year or 2 years, it's been a lot of people really with heavy, heavy, heavy burdens and challenges, facing things that are hard. Christianity, as I've said before and others, it's not for sissies. The narrow way following Jesus is not an easy way, is it? Not all the time. There are times it's a better way. There's blessings. But it's not always easy. I was thinking about so many of my brethren and then some things even in my extended family that are weighing on our family heavily. And I see so many people that I'm aware of in the body here that have things that are weighing on them heavily. And this idea of perseverance came to my mind because I'm thinking, how am I going to persevere? How am I to encourage others who are facing some of the things that they faced and encourage them to persevere? And what does it mean? What is he calling me to do? I'm tired of persevering. You ever feel that way? I want to get to that section where, oh, I don't feel like I'm persevering. I mean, it's just awesome. It's great. And there are people in that stage of life. And I look at sometimes our younger couples and I see the joy and I see the preparation. And I realize, you know, in time, life experience tells me they're going to be hit. I so want to equip them. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to you, here's qualities that we're to add to our lives as people of faith. Virtue. Not a very popular word. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, here it comes. Perseverance. To perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord is telling me, add perseverance to your life, Kevin. That's a quality you are to develop and to encourage others to develop. So we see that the scriptures here tell us that we need to grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ and that it begins with the foundation of faith, conviction, and trust. Faith, this conviction, and this trust in the Lord, regardless of the circumstances that come our way, either by our own decisions, by the decisions of others, or just by whatever it is, fate, they come. They're just reality. And then we are to add the quality of virtue. That means we are to strive for excellence. That's something that I have to determine to do, strive for virtue, excellence. And it's manifested by increasing in knowledge regarding God's Word so that I'm increasing in knowledge of God's will for me, God's will for my family, God's will for my children and my grandchildren, and collectively for the spiritual body here. That's why that knowledge is important. It's not just memory drill. It's equipping. It's becoming. To which we add the grace of self-control. Wow, how many times we tell young people, you need to learn how to control yourself. But it's not just for young people. That's where the foundation is certainly should be laid. But it continues into our life. We may have different opportunities to give up that control or different temptations we did when we were young, but we are still to exercise self-control, the mastering of our own personal desires, the mastering, yes, even of our own passions, and they may change at different stages in our life. And yet we must master them. In our text, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8, we note that to self-control, we are to add perseverance. I wish I didn't, at one level, have to do that. Because the more I began to read about this and look it up and see it in the context and see what it means, a message came. I guess in one way it should be encouraging, but another it's kind of, I don't like it. Because perseverance usually comes at a high price. Some of you look at me right now and you think, that guy probably spends a lot of time in the weight room pushing the weights, don't you? No, you're not going to be fooled by that. But have you ever seen those guys? They look really horrible. Just like bulging, six packs, whatever that is, they call it, strong. You know, remember Schwarzenegger, the governor, back in his early days. When you see that into the desire that you might say, wow, I'd like to be built like that, you realize that wasn't fun to get that way. Guys aren't just born that way. It takes hours and hours of work and pushing iron and doing all that kind of. Perseverance doesn't just come because I say, hey, Lord, would you give me a little bit more perseverance? And yet, I am to have that. The King James Version, those of you who read that, tends to use the word patience in many places for this Greek word, as does the New King James. The RSV has the word steadfastness. Perseverance, patience, steadfastness. So you might ask yourself, what comes to mind when you hear these words? How does this relate to self-control, this perseverance? And I need to ask myself through what I see as situations that are very challenging in my extended family and through the people that I love, so many people in my spiritual family. How does it relate to me? Am I growing in this? Am I adding this? I'm told to add perseverance. But what's the definition? The Greek word is hupomenai. Hupomenai. You use that all the time, right? Literally, an abiding under. Strong's Concordance defines the word as a cheerful or hopeful endurance. Endurance normally implies you don't endure the good times, do you? How many of you endured your wedding? Well, never mind. Let's see. One of the fondest memories in my life was everything that was involved with that. I didn't endure that. When I think of endurance, I think it's always been challenging times. Not always unhappy times, but hard times. Most guys who go through a boot camp would describe it as you endured boot camp, right? Unless you went through the Air Force one. No, just teeth. Hey, you're learning golf for the first time. It can be very challenging. But Mike, when you guys say that that period of time, it was something you would... it's something you endured. You might have been proud. You might have had a thirst for it. But it was hard. And then we endure times. I endured from the time the cancer word was used with my mom and then with my father and others. Those experiences, I had to persevere. I had to endure. And I hated it. It hurt. It hurt loved ones. It hurt me. And yet, it says... the real word, the Greek word, a cheerful or hopeful endurance. I can say that with those in Christ, as hard as it was, I was able to have that type of hope in Jesus, and I am so thankful for Jesus Christ. That in the worst circumstances we have to endure, there can be an endurance that has a hope attached to it. And what a blessing to those in Christ. This virtue is more than a passive virtue. In the passive sense, I'm thinking of Bob. It would be like a ship anchored in a storm. Remember we talked about storms last week? And that ship is anchored out there, and it's under attack by the wind and the waves. Yet it's remaining secured to that one spot by the anchor, so it will not drift away. And this is as good as far as it goes, but this word, when you do the word studies on it, implies something more than that, than just holding on through the storm. In the active sense, it's like a ship that decides to sail despite the storm, to continue going to its destination, intentionally doing that. Under attack by the same wind, under attack by the same waves, but pressing on to its destination despite the obstacles. It involves more than just a grin and bear it attitude. When I was reading this, what it really means, and thinking of Bob Hendricks' comments last week, it's a merchant marine on a ship out at sea in the Atlantic of all places. Treacherous place to be. Horrendous storms, depending on where you are in the Atlantic, ice cold water. And he's in a merchant marine ship that they did not build to have a 100-year warranty. And I was thinking about his statement about this storm being so bad that the men tied themselves into their bunks. Even sailors can get seasick in the wrong storm. It didn't take much for me, but when I was in the Navy on a little destroyer escort, we got towed from one pier to another one, and I got a little seasick. It's just the Atlantic, I'll do anything to keep me out of there. I'll join the waves before I go to the Atlantic fleet, you know. And here's Bob and his other crewmen, and they were sick. He couldn't even prepare food for them, not just because he didn't feel well, because no one else did either. Did they drop anchor and just wait? No. They endured that, and that merchant marine went through the storm and met its obligations and went forward. And we lost a lot of merchant marines in the war. And that's the type of endurance that it's talking about. Into our lives come storms in such a variety of ways. And it's hard to compare one to another. Well, there's some things I think we would all put up on the top priority as the worst things that can happen. And very commonly we would say the loss of a loved child. And a lot of different things. But there are so many things that people are facing. Chronic illness, debilitating illnesses. Every kind of situation. And these come and we're to endure. Don't just anchor, people of faith. Have a hope in your endurance. It's intentional. It's I'm going to move forward by faith, and I may feel just as sick as Bob did while I'm doing it. They may not take away any physical pain. And I've seen people here who have been such a testimony and encouragement to me and others who have had this kind of endurance when it was hard to even physically show up here, they did, to minister, to go on with their lives, with all kinds of situations, and they did not give up. Adam Clark, in his commentary, describes it as bearing all trials and difficulties with an even mind, enduring in all and persevering through all. Of course, exemplified by Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, that's Jesus. That's deity. Yes, deity humbled himself to take on the form of man and to feel and know and be tempted in everything that we have. But what about Paul? 2 Timothy 3:10 through 11. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. There are some things, lives here. There are some things in my extended family that are huge and cause us to cry out to God at times, even, God, where are you? Are you there? How are you there? What's going to happen? Do you see what we're seeing? And then I look to this. He says, persevere with hope because you are a man of faith. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And through this process, I found out this is how I'm developing this characteristic that I need. It's through these trials. Wow, I don't like the trials. Well, do you want to be what Jesus wants you to be? Yes, I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. If you want to be a polished stone, you have to get in the tumbler, right? Not that any of you want to be a stone, but say you have some stones and you want them to be polished. It's the same thing. Doesn't mean that the process is enjoyable. In fact, very often, he ties it in with long suffering, perseverance. But it's because they have the eye on the mark, because they have the trust in the Lord, and this is what I want to grow in these situations, that I do not give up my trust in the Lord, but that I allow these situations to develop the character demonstrated by Jesus Christ, demonstrated by biblical characters, demonstrated by the people in the book of faith in Hebrews, demonstrated by people even who are my brethren here. Well, we don't always know all the stories. We know some as we get close to one another. But there's a lot of stories of endurance in this congregation. There's a lot of stories of huge challenges, huge hurts, huge obstacles, horrendous situations, families attacked, families falling apart, all kinds of things. And yet, out of all these horrific things, you see people with other people going and walking together through with long suffering, with perseverance that's developing in their life. Hanging in, remaining faithful when you think, you ever feel like just giving up? Why didn't they give up? If that happened to me, if I was in that circumstance, we might say, I don't know if I would be around the family anymore. But I've seen other people say, when they've gone through that, that's the place I want to be. is with my people of faith, with my spiritual family. That's where I draw strength, and that is the beauty of the church, so much more than a building, which is nothing but a place for the church to assemble and to congregate, should not be the only place, is that coming together, developing relationships with another, with one another, and being that encouragement. You see, sometimes our older brethren fail to know the value of what they've gone through because they think maybe the younger people aren't that interested, but maybe some of them are. Maybe some of them can glean from that, your experience when they hear, and that can give them the faith and the background to go on when they face challenges, to see how it's been done, to see that there are people who still love the Lord despite having horrendous circumstances that have come into their life, and yet they still follow the Lord because they've persevered through all of these. And I think maybe that's why he says, our Lord, that we can rejoice at times when we're persecuted. He sees a refining process. That doesn't mean that he hammers you with a disease to develop this. We know we live in a fallen world. We know that disease is out there. And it doesn't pick people based on how good they are or what their age is. It's a factor that is part of this fallen world. But when we are confronted with them in faith, he wants us to still have hope. He says, I love you through this. You are going to be okay in his time. It doesn't mean you're going to have every illness cured in this world. And we do want that. But it can give us something to face those illnesses, to face these horrific family situations. And we got people here whose extended family are hurting because of bad decisions of other people in the family. We've got a lot of people going through that, and it's painful. It's hurtful when selfish, rude, mean, ungodly people do things and you see innocent victims. And yet, there's a promise of hope to those who will be long-suffering, persevere, and hang in and not give up and let it refine us. There's a refining process that our God, our Lord, is so powerful that he can take the work even of the evil one and use it to refine his own people in a way that they are then going to be able to stand up and reject and fight and overcome the very evil one who wants to bring it. Isn't that amazing? That's our Lord. Our Lord is more powerful than this evil one. But to develop this characteristic that makes us a little bit more like our Lord, perseverance, we need to recognize it's necessary for eternal life because he tells us it's a quality that we need to develop. And so we need to go through this together. Do not be alone. Do not just kind of be on the periphery of the body. And those of us who feel more comfortable with people than some others, we need to reach out to those who are not as comfortable. Pull them in because we need each other. We need the people who strap themselves into ships and carry out a mission. Not just in the Navy, like in the military, like we've had men do. Women on the home front who've held the families together and suffered through disease, suffered through the loss, horrendous losses. And yet they are faithful and they keep on following the Lord. praising the Lord the way Paul and Silas did when bad things happened to them, praise the Lord. And it builds up the body. It makes the body stronger. We need to grow in that love for one another to where we are sharing these just the way you do when you get together, if you're blessed with certain holidays. Oh, I have fond memories of being with a lot of relatives around the Christmas holidays. Ellen's parents loved my mom. My parents were divorced pretty quickly about the time we got married. Her parents loved both sets of my grandparents. We were together, and there's great grandparents. I mean, it was just great. We had the babies to the old ones. We didn't ship everyone off to different rooms. We shared. We sang together. We read the Bible together. We stuffed ourselves together. And then we heard the stories together, and the little ones listened to what the grandparents said. And the body helped that family to be stronger. We are a family. We're being hit hard. There's people here, and there's people here this morning and aren't here tonight who are hurting, who are struggling, who are facing serious issues. There are families that are falling apart, and there's tremendous pain. There are people facing, even now, surgeries for cancer, for debilitating diseases. There are people who we're going through hard times. Every time some of us guys get together with Rod, having a meal, soothes the topic in his relationship and his love for his dear wife who so often doesn't recognize him. And he endures and he perseveres and he loves even when she doesn't know him. And he remains faithful and he still gives himself to the body. And to me, as an older brother, he kind of embodies that. Is he perfect? None of us are perfect. But oh, how I'm so blessed to know and to see that so many of you. Let's hang in there. We need to hang in there with hope. And we have hope if we are in his spiritual ark, his kingdom. The missionary put up the photograph of the ark and everything, and how it's kind of an archetype of the church. It's true. Whatever you're facing, if you're in the kingdom, persevere. There is hope. The Lord loves us. He will see us through. There will be a time, whether here or in the next life, where we will not face any of these things again, where there will be reunion, where there will be total healing. But there's even a way to face these things, to have a hopeful joy as it molds us. Let's share that. But if you've never made that decision to die to yourself, that you might live with Christ, we encourage you to do that so that you might be able to develop perseverance and that it will have its reward, because those who remain faithful, those who persevere, the book of Revelation says, there will be that day of joyful blessing. So we encourage everyone to do that. But whatever you're facing, do not get up. Give up. Let others know. Let us pray for you. Let's be an encouragement to each other. Whatever our circumstance we're facing, they're so different. Let's not let the evil one have the victory, but let's take whatever he brings. Let it refine us, develop endurance, so that we will stand until that day where we face the Lord prepared. If there's anything we can do, you can let us know as we sing the song of encouragement.